From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's Here and Now. Coming up, new regulations for organic food. Up for consideration is whether antibiotics can be used in them.
But first, that White House meeting between President Obama and German President Angela Merkel today, the first face-to-face meeting since news that the NSA was eavesdropping on Merkel, and on a day when the violence in Ukraine escalated with deaths of both pro-Russian militants and Ukrainian troops. The two world leaders agreed on Ukraine, maybe not so much on surveillance. On Ukraine, President Obama said he and Merkel agreed that they would pursue diplomacy, but if that fails, a third round of sanctions are being readied.
The goal is not to punish Russia. The goal is to give them an incentive to choose the better course.
And Merkel said that they had a difference of opinion on the intensity of U.S. surveillance. Let's bring in NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley. And Scott, today, pro-Russian Ukrainians shot down two helicopters, killing two Ukrainian troops. And then the interim president of Ukraine claims his troops killed some insurgents. So start there. What's your sense of how quickly the conversation may be changing on Ukraine?
I didn't get the sense that today's violence in particular had ratcheted up the pressure for sanctions. But what we did hear the president say is that planning is underway for that third round of sanctions that would target not just individuals, not just companies, but whole sectors of the Russian economy. So if there is continued destabilization in eastern Ukraine, as certainly seems to be the case with today's violence, he said those sanctions will be ready if they're needed.
Well, let's hear a little more. Of course, the EU far more dependent on Russian oil and natural gas. And the president, as you said, talked about these sectional sanctions on the energy sector, for instance. Let's listen to a little.
The idea that you're going to turn off the tap on all Russian oil or natural gas exports, I think, is unrealistic. But there are a range of approaches that can be taken, not only in the energy sector, but in the arms sector, the finance sector, in terms of lines of credit for trade, all that have a significant impact on Russia.
So, Scott Horsley, tell us more. What more did you hear about sanctions?
Well, what I think is interesting is that until now, the trigger for those broad sectoral sanctions that the United States has talked most about is a movement of Russian troops across the border into Ukraine, beyond just Crimea, but into the eastern Ukraine itself. They haven't said that's the only circumstance in which they use sectoral sanctions, but that's been the sort of illustration they've used over and over again. Today, the talk was more about the election that's supposed to take place on May 25th, and as Chancellor Merkel said, now that's only a few weeks away, and that if the destabilization makes it unlikely that that election can go forward, that could be a trigger for those broad sectoral sanctions. Now, both the U.S. and Europe have said all along they don't want to go that route because that would impose economic cost not only on Russia, but on the global economy. And, of course, Europe would pay a higher price than the United States because its economy is more closely tied to Russia's. So the Europeans have been particularly wary about pulling a trigger on more vigorous sanctions against Russia. Yeah. But Chancellor Merkel did say today that they'll be ready if necessary.
Let's hear a little more of what she said. She, after all, is the European leader who speaks the most with Russian President Vladimir Putin. She infamously said that she thought he was out of touch with reality. And I understand she was asked about that today. Does she still believe that? What did she say?
Well, she was asked, but she didn't really answer that part of the question. She did speak just yesterday with Vladimir Putin, mostly to urge him to use his influence to win the release of the seven European observers who've been held hostage in eastern Ukraine. Four of those observers are German, and she called on Vladimir Putin to take steps to get the pro-Russian separatists who are holding those observers hostage to set them free. That hasn't happened. Some here in the U.S. have wondered if that means maybe Vladimir Putin doesn't have as much sway over these the people holding them hostage as we had originally thought, or that perhaps he's just unwilling to use that influence.
What did the two leaders, if asked, say about calls for them to support the new Ukraine more? We know Republicans John McCain, for instance, wants weapons sent to Ukraine's interim government. Even the Democrat Carl Levin, Senate Armed Services Committee chair, says Washington needs to do more. Were they asked about, for instance, helping to arm Ukraine?
President Obama and Chancellor Merkel were not asked about that specifically today, although the President Obama spoke fairly dismissively about that idea earlier in the week while he was in Asia. He said, look, does anybody think that sending some extra arms to the Ukrainian military would really make them a match for the Russian military? And the obvious suggestion is that it would not. There's not enough arms that the U.S. could or Europeans could send to Ukraine right now to make them a match for those thousands of Russian troops who are massed along the border. But both the U.S. and Germany have stressed their support for their other kinds of support they're offering to Ukraine, including IMF economic support to really shore up what is a very fragile economy in Ukraine.
Well, we just want to briefly touch on the idea of spying on world leaders like Angela Merkel. President Obama said it pained him to see how that had affected the U.S.-German relationship, and she was asked if the trust had been restored.
The situation is such that we have a few difficulties yet to overcome. So this is why there's going to be this cyber dialogue between our two countries, and this is also why there needs to be and will have to be more than just business as usual.
Scott Horsley, that was a translator. Angela Merkel's voice has not changed. But that, you know, that's still such a sensitive point for these two leaders.
It obviously is a sensitive point, and President Obama repeatedly talked about what a close friend and close partner Angela Merkel has been to him, obviously trying to sort of make amends for what was, you know, a very bad patch in the relationship. Chancellor Merkel's comments towards the president were, I would say, a little less effusive about their friendship, although certainly on substance they seem to be more or less on the same page when it comes to dealing with Ukraine. But as you said, she did highlight that there are ongoing differences in what's permissible for surveillance, both in Germany and around the world.
NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley, thank you.
My pleasure.